Automatically, as the next wave came, the shell collector raised his collecting bucket so it would not be swamped. As soon as the wave passed, he plunged his arms back into sand, his fingers probing an alcove between anemones, pausing to identify a clump of brain coral, running after a snail as it burrowed away. One of the gyms had a snorkeling mask and was using it to look underwater.
"Look at these blue fish," he gasped. "Look at that blue."
The shell collector was thinking just then of the indifference of nematocysts. Even after death, the tiny cells would discharge their poison. A single dry tentacle on the shore severed 8 days, stung a village boy last year, and swelled his legs. A weaverfish bite bloated a man's entire right side, blacked his eyes, turned him dark purple. A stonefish sting corroded the skin off the sole of the shell collector's own heel years ago, left the skin smooth and printless. How many urchin spikes, broken but still spurting venom, had he squeezed from Tamani's paw? What would happen to these gyms if a banded sea snake came slipping up between their fat legs, if a lionfish was dropped down their collars? "Here's what you came to see," he announced, and pulled the snail, a cone, from its collapsing tunnel. He spun it and balanced its flat end on two fingers. Even now, its poison proboscis was nosing forward, searching him out. The gyms waded noisily over. "This is a geography cone," he said. "It eats fish."
"That eats fish?" one of the gyms asked. "But my pinky's bigger."
"This animal," said the shell collector, dropping it into his bucket, "has 12 kinds of venom in its teeth. It could paralyze you and drown you right here." This all started when a malarial Seattle-born Buddhist named Nancy was stung by a cone shell in the shell collector's kitchen. It crawled in from the ocean, slogging 100 meters under coconut palms through acacia scrub, bit her, and made for the door. Or maybe it started before Nancy. Maybe it grew outward from the shell collector himself, the way a shell grows, spiraling upward from the inside, whirling around its inhabitant, all the while being worn down by the weathers of the sea. The gyms were right. The shell collector did hunt caribou. 9 years old in Whitehorse, Canada. And his father would send the boy, leaning out the bubble canopy of his helicopter in cutting sleet, to cull sick caribou with a scoped carbine. But then there was choroideremia and degeneration of the retina. In a year, his eyesight was tunneled, spattered with rainbow-colored halos. By 12, when his father took him 4,000 miles south to Florida to see a specialist, his vision had dwindled into darkness. The ophthalmologist knew the boy was blind as soon as he walked through the door. One hand clinging to his father's belt, the other arm held straight, palm out, to stiff-arm obstacles. Rather than examine him, what was left to examine? The doctor ushered him into his office, pulled off the boy's shoes, and walked him out the back door down a sandy lane onto a spit of beach. The boy had never seen sea, and he struggled to absorb it. The blurs that were waves, the smears that were weeds strung over the tide line, the smudged yolk of sun. The doctor showed him a kelp bulb, let him break it in his hands and scrape its interior with his thumb. There were many such discoveries: a small horseshoe crab mounting a larger one in the wave break, a fistful of mussels clinging to the damp underside of rock. But it was wading ankle deep when his toes came upon a small round shell no longer than a segment of his thumb, that the boy truly was changed. His fingers dug the shell up. He felt the sleek egg of its body, the toothy gap of its aperture. It was the most elegant thing he'd ever held. "That's a mouse cowrie," the doctor said. "A lovely find. It has brown spots and darker stripes at its base like tiger stripes. You can't see it, can you?" But he could. He'd never seen anything so clearly in his life. His fingers caressed the shell, flipped and rotated it. He had never felt anything so smooth, had never imagined something could possess such deep polish. He asked, nearly whispering, "Who made this?" The shell was still in his hand a week later when his father pried it out, complaining of the stink. Overnight, his world became shells, conchology, the phylum Mollusca.